microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Rick Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Here we are. We're in a northbound lane doing a little southbound Suarez today for Rob Leonard, who called this out last week. And I'm Ray Guarino. This is Motormouth Radio. And the guy, this guy has Krills and Klingons cringing whenever he takes out his scan tool. When he only holsters that thing, it's my XO Joe D sitting next to me. How are you?
Hey, Ray. What's happening? Yeah, you gotta watch those guys with the bumpy heads. You know what I mean? Actually, I can kind of get along with most of them at most points, but every once in a while, somebody's S2 graph generator gets a little hinky, and they want it fixed right away. So I tell them, well, go to the end of the line, go over there and talk to the... go hang out with the Vulcans a little bit and leave me alone.
Exactly. You got that right. So, if people want to hang out with these Vulcans, they can give us a call today at 516-572-7440 here on Motormouth Radio. As I've been corrected about, but I'll say, Long Island's only automotive talk show who does what we do.
Yes, that's right. And because nobody else has been certified in the... nobody else is that certifiable. Let's put it that way.
Oh, we're certified, all right. So, I have to say, today, Joe, we're going to cover a little bit of old business because we don't have a guest. We do have one next week, though.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I was going to say, wait a second, did we, like, not open the closet and let him in or something like that?
But no. I know we're going to cover some grounding issues that you have a great story about.
Grounds.
But we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to talk about some carburetor stuff that we've touched on in the past few weeks but didn't have a
carburetors.
Chance. Right, we didn't have a chance to elaborate on. And actually, our eye in the sky, Jersey Jim, has asked if I could please elaborate on how we go about defining and sourcing out these carburetors. The thing is, I talked about this on the Thursday night Plane and Traffic show with Lou Santiago, and it was a little more in detail on that show because I had some time to do it. We didn't have the time here. But in the past week, well, actually, it was you who instituted it. You threw at me.
What else is new? If it's trouble, who's going to start it? It's going to be me. Yeah.
Well, this wasn't particularly trouble, but you threw at me a box last week and said, here, can you rebuild this? And I said, yes, I can. It was a Holley, what I thought was a 3310 at the time, but it's a 4150.
Yeah, you're basic, the Swiss Army knife for carburetors that just about everybody who's ever owned a Holley carburetor or any kind of high-performance car bigger than like a six-cylinder, and even some of them. Everybody's used a 3310, the good old 780. Yep.
That's right.
That was original equipment on a lot of Chevys, I know. It turns out a lot of cars.
Oh, absolutely. So what I did is I took the carburetor home and said, yeah, sure, I haven't done a Holley in a while. This is going to be like old home week for me.
Mm.
And I took it apart. Well, before I took it apart, I noticed that between, and anybody who knows a Holley carburetor, Google Holley 4-barrel and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yes.
There's a couple different configurations. The 600 has a single fuel inlet on the left side of the carburetor, which is the driver's side.
Mm-hmm.
But the 3310 style, which uses two metering plates instead of a metering block in the back, is what's called a dual feed. That could be a dual feed as well, which means on the right side of the carburetor, there's this nice chrome pipe that goes into the two fuel fittings that are on each of the fuel bowls. And then that goes to the filter and the fuel pump.
Mm.
So I noticed on this carburetor, there was a solid piece of tubing, like like
very almost, funky, steampunky.
Yeah, not like 3/16. It was almost quarter inch, and it went between the fuel lines. And I said, "Oh, some." And I knew this had been off a car for a long time. You could tell by looking at it.
Mm.
It was dry. It was dusty. It was definitely, you know, sitting.
All right. Wait, are you talking about me? You're talking about the carburetor now.
The carburetor.
Oh, okay.
So with that, I said, okay, maybe someone put this line on here and bent it up to keep dust and dirt and moisture out of the carburetor.
Right.
Until I turned and saw on the front fuel bowl on the driver's side, which would be the left side, I saw a fuel filter,
a
fitting, which had a number on it.
That old school Ford like filter and fitting in one shot that they used quite a bit of in like the 60s and 70s, yes.
And I said, oh, I have never seen this before, which now led to the information dissemination process.
Yes.
And on the air horn of the Hollies, they always have the history that...
That's where you got to look.
The birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
This one said DOZF. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, it's a Ford carburetor. It is an original Ford carburetor.
1970, DO.
Now, and how I know that is because all the listings, all the carburetors I looked up, the Fords always had the DOZ and DOZX listings. So I'm like, okay, this is an original carburetor. Scratch head a little bit. Then I look up the numbers. There's a list number 4514, which I wasn't familiar with.
Mm.
It is a 4150 style carburetor, and then a date code. So what do I do? This is what Jim had asked. How do you do it? Well, I use things like these, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's hold it a little closer to the mic.
Yeah,
a good, good old Holly carburetor in the America listing.
Right. And the other one is
And the other one is the installated parts and specs book.
Right.
Yes. When I worked in the speed shop, both of these were well-worn right towards the front of my catalog because I used them quite a bit. Yep.
Absolutely.
And this is the kind of stuff when you want to get the authoritative information, that's where you got to go. Although in a case like that, you might have been able to go to the shop manual for that particular vehicle.
If I had it, which I didn't.
Yeah, right. No, of course. Yeah.
But I did go to the Car Guys Universal Shop Manual. It was called the Google.
The Google, yes.
Google in any one of those numbers, and you get everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got.
And absolutely no picture of anybody in a bikini.
No, unfortunately not. That's how I found that this unusual thing was a 1970 carburetor off a Ford, possibly off a Cobra Jet, off a Cobra Jet engine.
Right.
428, 429 series.
And Torino, I was like, Mustang, yeah.
Oh, that's why this thing, that's why it's got all this. And then I looked at the images section of Google, and there it was with that solid fuel line. And I'm like, I've never ever seen one of these. I'm not a Ford guy, first of all.
Right, right.
All the carburetors I've rebuilt, I guess nobody ever had anything this cool.
Right. A little bit of backstory on that. That carburetor the engine that it sat in is in a 1956 sedan delivery, what Ford used to call a courier. You know, so picture a Ford station wagon of like the 1956 era, but, you know, the panel, no windows, kind of almost nomadish. Two-door, you know what I mean? And it's sitting in the UD.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's been sitting for an extremely long length of time. We dragged it over, because the owner of the car wanted to get it up and running again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we were looking at this and go, what the heck motor is this? So, there is a lot of jury rigging because, you know, it's a 56 Ford, which would have had maybe a 312 or a 292 or something like that. But meanwhile, there's a Ford FE, you know, typical Ford late 60s, early 70s, big block in there. And
which happened a lot back in the day.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, whoever owned this car back in the day was pretty cool. It's got a stick. You know, it was no joke. As a matter of fact, I can't wait to hear this thing run.
Now, let's step back. Also in the UD, of course, you know, Dougie, what's his partner in crime? Is it John?
Johnny? Yeah, his other half, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's got a Chevelle.
Yes.
And what's under the hood of that Chevelle?
Forgive me, Doug.
It starts with a P. It's a Pontiac. I think it may be a 389 with tri-power.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at that thing, I'm like, oh, who did this?
Yeah.
And he told me a story of how that engine came out of a wagon back in the day. It was crashed on the LIE. It was a friend, but, you know, the whole thing. And I'll throw it in the Chevelle. And I'm like, how cool is that? People put Chevys in Pontiacs all the time. I even did that.
Oh, yeah, that was the thing. I mean, even when we went to the car show last week over in Eisenhower Park, we ran into a couple of, like, 1960s Pontiacs that had Chevy motors in them. You know what I mean? So
not many guys went the other way, though.
It was a thing. It's easier. Somebody always had a Chevy motor laying around someplace out of some station wagon, Impala, Caprice, whatever. They got crashed, and they pulled it out just for in case they needed a motor, because you know, you can get parts on that thing almost literally on every street corner.
Well, it's like I say, if you need a set of piston rings or a lifter, just go to 7-Eleven. They have them on the shelf next to the ding-dongs and ho-hos.
Yeah, the carburetor stuff's a little tough, though. That you have to go to the pharmacy for.
You know, we should talk about that a little bit, because you did procure the carburetor kit.
Oh, yes.
I've talked about this offline quite a lot, but on the show, how carburetor kits now have become unobtainium.
Yes. First of all, nobody wants to stock them, because, I mean, I still get plenty of questions during the course of my week relating to some carburetor kit or another, you know, because there are hardcore carburetor people still out there in the country that, you know, between classic cars and people who just don't want to give them up, and farm implements and stuff like that, that they're out there, they're still doing carburetors.
Sure. And guys like us.
Yeah, exactly. Except that this thing here, because it was an original equipment carburetor, we couldn't necessarily use, I mean, you could probably throw something together from a series of the more generic Holley kits that you would find in the speed shop. But my logic was, when I dug that up, was let's get the right kit, because there might be a little, you know, funny little G's clips and
but
whatever.
I'll tell you this, after rebuilding it, I could have gone to my, and I did go to my spare parts selection at my house for a part for that carburetor, because what's not included in the high grade kit is the diaphragm for the vacuum for the secondary.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They never include that. That's one I told, I think I said that to you.
It's considered a non wear item.
The AED kit that I had gotten from, I think it was, ATV,
right,
sold out years ago. It's a line of carburetor kits. They included the vacuum secondary diaphragm, which is fantastic, and a bunch of other little things the other kits didn't. So I went to my spare parts, and I went in. I had three of them that I had saved, and I put a good one in, because the other one just decrepitated.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, well, I mean, that car sat.
That's another word for Jim to use on the.
Yes, decrepitated. Yes, one of my favorites. Yeah, that car sat, that we know of, 7 years.
The beauty of it was, you know, when it came apart, cars, it looked like it had never seen MTBE or ethanol, because you get that weird gelatinous stuff. Everything in there was very just dry and dusty, which is beautiful.
It was like Tales from the Crypt over there.
Beautiful. That stuff cleans up wonderfully.
The fuel system, the rest of the fuel system on that stuff, you know, when we tried to get the car started the first time, nothing worked. I mean, the tank looked like the lunar surface over there. We stuck a borescope down in there. And the fuel pump, next to the dictionary, there's the picture for decrepitated. There's a picture of this fuel pump.
Right.
It wasn't doing no pumping no more.
No.
So, and then that carburetor, when we tried an alternative fuel source, that carburetor just had more leaks than Citi Field at the seventh inning stretch.
It was all dried out.
Yeah, so it was pretty bad. So, and trying to find the right kit, though, it was on galactic back order.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was nothing special. I mean, the replacement parts in that carburetor are the gaskets.
Right.
Between the metering block and the bowl, and the metering block and the body.
Yeah, some of the rubber seals, you know, power valve.
There's a little cork O-ring that goes between the vacuum canister and the body. Of course, the needle and seat assembly that has an O-ring on it, that's replacement.
Right.
You reuse the float. Center hung brass floats.
Yes. Well, you know, Holley needle and seats, you know, you walk over to a Holley carburetor and you say, "Word, dirt!" down the intake, and the next thing you know, it's like spouting like a fountain as they hang up.
The next thing that got me on that was toward the end, in the end game, after I cleaned it in a carburetor solution I have, which is in an agitator, I gave it an extra long cleaning and soak because of that decrepitation, which it needed. Unfortunately, whatever was left of that bronze-like look of the carburetor literally came off with the brush when I brushed it. So now we're down to bare aluminum. And again, thinking of the rarity of this carburetor, I had mentioned to you, you know, maybe this is time to use that the paint I'd gotten from Eastwood.
From Eastwood, yeah.
And the second choice was just a light coating of a semi-gloss clear.
Yeah, just something so to turn that chalky stuff there.
And that's what we chose to go with, so.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, this car, at least at this point in its life, is hardly a showpiece.
Right.
I mean, our mission that we decided to accept was to get the car to be driven around. I mean, I had a list that went on for about 5 pages of stuff that I wanted to do to the car before I would, like, let it out on the street, you know, with me or anybody I really liked.
Oh, sure.
You know, but...
I'm sure brakes was toward the top of that list.
Yes, absolutely, you know, because, you know, I'm a big fan of converting brakes over to, at the very least, dual...
Oh, yeah.
You know, dual systems, because it's not the dark ages no more. And this is hardly a points car for originality, nothing
right.
like that. But, no, basically, this car is going to get... It's going to drive... out of the U-Day, it's going to drive onto a flatbed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go to the owner's new storage location, wherever that may be. You know, and from there, it might, you know, putt down to the local body shop or whatever to be finished. The bodies, and it's not rough. I mean, it's got some nice paint on it, but
we got to talk to him.
There's
about
a lot of finishing that's got to be done. There's about 9 years worth of electrical work.
We got to talk to him about treating the fuel system, as our next week's guest will talk about. We're going to have the fellow from Startron.
Ah, Startron,
on
yes.
Next week, Starbright, yeah, that makes the fuel additive that I've been using for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that car needs at least some of that to help combat the effects of the ethanol.
Right, right, effect. Right. Yeah, I mean, that thing probably had, like, you know, pretty much... unhomogenized dinosaur doo-doo is... I don't think that had modern gas in it for a long time.
Oh, no, exactly.
You know?
No, sure.
And it turned to that stuff that you found. By the way, was that carburetor was full of stuff?
No, like I said, everything that was in it had dried out and turned to dust.
Right, okay.
So, you know,
that was a lot of dust.
I took a lot of it and, like, knocked it on the bench,
mm-hmm.
onto a piece of paper, and the rest of it, when I put it in the wash, it just kind of, it took it out.
Great. Well, yeah, because I was going to kind of, like, just tighten things up and, you know, cross my fingers and see if it held. But I said, you know what? Let's, you know, my luck, you know, there's going to be something clogged in one of the idle circuits or something like that. It would just be a wreck. So we might as well just do the right thing.
Right.
Now it's set up, and if he ever wants to take it off, you know, and put it on some Mustang someplace, that'll be fine too.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. People should know they can check us out still on the web, motormouthradio.com, and now on our newly used Twitter feed at Motormouth Radio. You could look that up on Twitter and find us and see what we're doing. And our followers are building slowly. Al, Jeep and Al has been influential in that for us. He's shared us with everybody. And we just picked up Dina Parisi, so that's cool.
Oh, okay.
And,
so... We're gonna have a bunch of twits, and we're gonna. Oh no, are we the twits or are they the twits?
Yet to be decided.
Are they the Twitterers?
Yet to be decided.
I don't know.
But right now,
I talk to my kids about this stuff.
I'll tell you what, though. Right now, we're gonna go out. We're gonna try and we're staying dry, but we're gonna see if we can jump out into the rain with this next bit. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio in a few minutes. Keep it where you got it, please.
Dr. Janine Cook-Arad, the host of the longest-running faculty program on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. As a professor of nursing department, our program strives to provide cutting-edge medical interviews with local and national doctors, along with health practitioners from every modality. The one question we have to ask ourselves is, what is your greatest asset? And most of you would respond, your health. Each week, we provide you with programs that will educate you about issues affecting your health while raising the bar for improving your health. So join me, Dr. Janine Cook-Arad, every Tuesday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 6 for your family's health on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
What are all these birds doing here at the radio station?
They're just tweeting.
They're kind of loud.
They'll stop soon. They're about to hit 140 characters.
Huh?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm retweeting that.
Oh no, not again.
You gotta like that.
That tweeter just tweeted all over the equipment.
Do you, or do you not, know about the bird?
Join the conversation on Twitter. Find us at 903-WHPC.
I'm not cleaning that up.
Hey, what's the big idea?
That's 903-WHPC on Twitter. From the voice of NASA Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right. Twittering, all that good stuff. That's very timely because with our new Twitter feed in action, I'm glad to see we have a promo on there that I can play that will actually back that up. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to learn how to do this. I mean, you know.
You know, you're a Facebook guy. I'm not. You are. And if I can do the Twittering, there's nuances of it that I've been getting schooled on from many people, and I still haven't. I don't own it yet. I don't understand it 100%. Certainly not well enough to fluently explain it to somebody else, and I'm talking about the hashtag and the at symbol thing. I kind of get it, but I'm not, like, it takes me a little while before I really get comfortable.
Yeah.
And like we said, Joe, tweeters aren't our thing. You know, woofers are our thing, because we're bottom end guys,
yeah,
both of us.
Yeah, we hold down the bottom end of things, and it's kind of hard to thump with a tweeter. So,
it is. Yeah, but regardless, this is the way of the world now, social media, and I see how it gets out. I'm not a big social media guy, per se, even in that realm, but I understand its net worth, and we are kind of, we're buying in. You know?
Yeah, yeah, let's face it, we are part of the media, so, I mean, it's time for us to enter the second part of the 21st yeah. century over there, the second decade over there. I mean, I'm still used to, like, the interweb. I'm still listening. I open the computer, I expect to hear that noise that you managed to go on AOL. You did that very well, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, I've heard, how many times did I hear that in my life? The external modem. I remember when I got an internal modem, I thought I was really hot stuff because, wow, you don't
right.
hear it.
56K.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. Well, actually, it was in baud. Yeah, they rated them in baud.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they used to have the scan tools and stuff in baud rates. So, But these days now we're way past that, and now I know these devices like operate a lot faster than I can think, so I'm not even going to even try to.
You know, speaking of new and old technology, thanks to Mark, I sent you out a video of a guy who actually graphically he compared all of the Star Trek starships for speed.
With, oh yeah,
with
yeah.
Light mm-hmm. speed as the indicator, which doesn't even move compared to somebody, and he does it in a couple different ways. It's really cool.
Yes, they've changed the warp scale a couple times over the decades, and.
Yeah.
I actually knew that one time, the way that it geometrically progressed, but I don't know, I suck at geometry, so
yeah.
I'll have to go back to it. But
it's freaking fast.
Yeah, yeah, basically they raced from Earth to Saturn or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But
actually, they went to the outer edges of the solar system. Yeah.
The outer edge of the solar system,
so
that's right.
It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, an anniversary today, I saw on my calendar, it's 7 years ago today that I hydrolocked the engine in my Mazda.
Was it that long?
That was the same day you got piled up on the Grand Central Parkway in your Camry.
The Cavalier.
The Cavalier, I'm sorry.
Yes, the white Cavalier.
Right, it was the same day. It was a rainy morning. I forget what day of the week it was. It might have been a Friday, possibly. But I know it was the same day that you had your mishap, and I said, oh, geez, the wet stars are aligning in a bad way for both of us. So.
Yeah, yeah, things getting plowed into all over the place. And
yeah.
Yeah, why does that stuff seem to happen concurrently?
I don't know.
That's very weird. You know how they say stuff comes in threes or whatever?
I think the universe was slowly, it's like a tractor beam trying to move a dead planet or a dead starship, which was actually on the Orville last week.
Right.
When you try to move big objects slowly to make them go towards somewhere you want them to go, I think the system was moving us maybe a little closer together into a tighter orbit, so to speak.
I think the universe was just trying to make us get rid of our cars because we've had them way too long. It's like, will you stop driving those things already? You know, it's like, you know, would you like to have your own rolling antique show? Or
actually, my car was only 4 years old at the time, so that wasn't.
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't that old.
Yeah, that's true. That was one of the quote unquote new cars.
That's right. It was one of the new ones in the vehicle.
Yeah, but that's right. How'd you hydrolock that again? Would you hit a puddle or something?
I did. I was on my way to work and. Stupidly, you know, I didn't want to wait for this light because there was more traffic than usual because it was a heavy, rainy morning. And I knew if I cut through the side streets by a friend's house, I could come out, you know, a little further down the road.
Right.
So I did that. And I've gone through those streets many times. When I got to the last leg, there was water in the road. And I said, okay, well, I know because my buddy lives there. And I said, this street doesn't have a dip. It doesn't usually flood. It's not going to be 3 feet of water. You know, I know it's not. Like, there wasn't a dip under there, like San Francisco.
You wouldn't have to raise the periscope.
Right. So I went through it slowly,
mm-hmm.
and the car sputtered and died. And I was like, uh-oh.
Oops.
And, yeah, it
took That's a bad feeling.
Yeah.
That really is.
Oh, it sure was. It sure was. So it was one of those freak accidents, and the way it hit the air intake, I don't have, you know, on those cars, on the Mazdas, one of the aftermarket air intakes went down under the bumper.
Right.
That's definitely a water grabber. No, mine grabs it up high, so I guess the water splashed up. And yeah. It had to go through the intake track, through the K&N filter,
right,
and then into the engine. It actually did choke the motor.
Yeah, it can happen. I mean, it doesn't even take that much. You know, I've seen engines hydrolock due to, like, say, head gasket leaks and stuff
that.
That was the thing with some of the V6, the 3800 GM motors, where the EGR passage was too close to the on the intake manifold. It would blow through and, like, it would suck antifreeze straight into the engine, and
right.
You'd lose a couple cylinders.
Oh, you know,
it wasn't like a gallon of water in there either. It was just a small amount, but that's all it takes, because liquids do not compress.
That's right. Exactly. That's exactly what
that much
happens.
I remembered from school.
Yeah. Right. Well, you remembered that. Yeah.
But yeah. So that was new motor time for you, right?
Yeah. They took the car in, went to a body shop, and they did some diagnostics. Literally, the first thing he did is he disconnected everything, pulled the plugs, and just cranked the engine and pumped water out of the spark plug holes.
Oh, it's like that those fountains you see like at the shopping at the malls and stuff, where like the water dances out and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He did get the car to run again,
mm-hmm.
And it ran okay. You know, and did a bunch of stuff. I got it back. Insurance paid the bill, and I noticed that at just like I do with this check engine light, it was the same thing. When I sat at idle, I could feel a very imperceptible, just the slightest little offness in the engine, like a little bit of a, just an off tick.
Yeah.
And if I touch the gas, it isn't throttled by wire. It's connected on that car. So if I hit it just right, I could see where I hit the pedal, and I didn't see the tack increase. If I hit it more, then the tack would jump. There was mm-hmm. a little lag there. And then once you started to drive, it was fine.
Right.
Only there. And when I relayed that back to the shop, he says, listen, he goes, we believe the owner knows the car better than anybody else who drives it. And,
sure.
And he said to me, a guy like you who knows his cars, bring it back in. And then they did some more diagnostics. He said, you know what? We believe you have a bent rod, at least one bent rod, maybe two, and that's what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the fix then, the insurance company, of course, goes through
it's motor time.
And they said, we're going to put a motor in it. So
yeah,
they did.
There are certain things because of the complexity of it. Even on certain cars, timing chains.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's pretty much step one, drop the motor. And then, you know, if, depending on the actual failure, yeah, the tip of the iceberg is, say, like the timing chain or something like that. But meanwhile, it could be a valve or five bent.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just easy to, you know, rather than the labor time, just to put another motor in, either reman or used or whatever, rather than having somebody. A lot of shops, too, will not rip a motor, you know, a modern motor down on the bench because of time constraints,
sure.
Cleanliness, special tools.
Right.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It's just easy to get another motor and plug it in. You know, unfortunately, the old school way of taking something apart and rebuilding it, it's just not practical anymore. It's not that people have become lazy or anything like that. It's just that the world doesn't operate that way. You just can't make money that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, oh, good used unit. Let's go with that. It's the labor time. It is a tenth of ripping down the engine and doing it up.
Yeah.
Not to mention you can't even find, I mean, how many machine shops are still around that, and if they are, they're usually high performance.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so if you give them some everyday pedestrian 2.3 liter four cylinder,
mm-hmm.
they're going to look like, we don't have anything small enough to fit in those holes to bore it out. You know?
Exactly.
So it doesn't work that way.
Exactly. Well, you can stick your little finger in a little hole on your phone and dial it at 516-572-7440. Give us a call. I don't know if this thing is working until it lights off. So
yeah, somebody call. Somebody make a comment.
Indulge us.
Make fun of us. You know, tell us a good harrowing story of why your car doesn't run, or ask why your car doesn't run.
Well, we're going to take a break in another minute or two, and we're going to talk about some grounding. But I want to talk about. I also want to mention this during the week. I was bumping around at work, and I found, you know, I've brought projects in over the years, and I found in a bin a Holley 3310 that I sent you a picture of.
Oh, yeah.
And when I looked up the number, it's a 780. It was off a 396, 425 horsepower Chevelle engine. It was off a Z16. Well, that's what the number came back to.
That's the option code, yeah.
Z16. Number 3878261EH is the part number. And it's on the air horn.
Yep.
So, again, it's another one of those unforgettable ones. But the date code was 051, which meant May 1st, the May, the first week of May in 1970.
Right.
So it was a universal replacement carburetor that they sold a gazillion of through many years. The thing that gets that's going to trip people up now is the fact that the part number, when you if you Google it even or look in those books, it takes you back to Z16 Chevelle, which is unobtainium.
Sure.
If the date code matched the number, the thing would be worth a freaking fortune.
Absolutely. You got, you know, if you're showing the car off and you're going for originality and points and whatnot, that stuff's killer.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you just want the thing to dump gas down the intake, who cares? You know what I mean? But, you know, especially as those cars now become more and more valuable, and you want to keep the originality intact.
Well, Z16s, I think they only made like 1,000 of them or something.
They're not that common, but to have the right carburetor, that's like that Ford carburetor. That thing's off a Cobra Jet.
See, that came back with provenance. With the Z16 thing, you have to do a little more diligence in your research, and you have to, again, include that date code because, you know, guys, I looked at eBay listings. Yeah, Z16 780. Yes, well, technically, that's kind of how it comes back because the number goes back, but your date code shows that it was a different year. Not a reman, but a Holley carburetor for the service industry,
which would replace the application. Probably came through from somebody bought that from a Chevy dealership or a AC Delco outlet or something like that.
And at some point, a speed shop or wherever.
But it was it had intention for that particular vehicle.
But probably what I'm going to do with that one is, again, I had already cleaned it up. It's disassembled. It's really in nice shape. It needs a base plate, which I have at home. That's something that I should toss up on eBay and say,
heck yeah,
here's your Universal 780. You know, it's a dual feed single pump, not double pump.
Right.
That one is also I think that has a vacuum secondary on it.
Yeah, well, that's part of that's the hallmark of the 3310 is that it's got vacuum secondaries.
Right.
Which makes it such a versatile carburetor.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I've seen people use them on small blocks, on big blocks. I mean, Chevy used to use that on the LT1s and the Camaros and the Corvettes in like 1970. You would think a car like that would have like some massive...
The LT1, yeah.
Yeah, they have some massive double pumper. Nope, 780. Yeah, right. That was the stuff.
All right, so we're going to take another break, Joe. I need you to limber up your fingers because you're going to play the intro to this song for us. And,
all right, cracking knuckles.
Yeah, I know it's a little bit, you got to be kind of quick. So let's do that. And if not, we'll just go light up the barbecue and we'll...
Plug it in.
And we'll have a couple of little doggies. But we'll be back with Motormouth Radio in a few minutes. Keep it where you got it.
Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This program is brought to you by the Westbury Food Truck Festival, happening Saturday, October 7th at 3 p.m. in the parking lot of the NYCB Theater at Westbury.
Take a bite of the food on four wheels, plus games, prizes, and other fall fun.
For more information, visit venue.thetheater@westbury.com.
Hey, have you seen DJ Solero?
No. Why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Maybe he went to get something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone will figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may have not heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this.
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead. Tell everyone when to listen.
Okay, then. If you're looking to hear some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session Friday nights at midnight on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, my baby is back, and I don't know what to do. So we are good work on the leading Joe, and the hot dogs taste fantastic.
Yeah, and we're gonna need more ketchup. I'm one of those people that I'm a ketchup guy.
Ah!
Yeah. My daughter and I, wow. What do they say, Texans and mental patients?
I don't know. That's very curious. The things you learn on Motor Mouth Radio, folks, you can't get this anywhere.
You noticed that red spot on my shirt now. That was not that nobody shot me, you know?
Got it.
See? You never know.
Yeah. So, listen, now on, Motor Mouth Radio, give us a call.
All right, I freaked them out now.
Yes, 516-572-7440. Follow us on Twitter at Motor Mouth Radio. And, of course, our website, motormouthradio.com. Send us an email, motormouthradio@ncc.edu. But for now, we're going to switch from the fuel side and go to the electric side. And I want to talk about, bad grounds. So, I don't know how you want to attack this. You know, it's like saying, can you tell me about the weather? But you had an interesting thing at the shop this week.
Oh, we had a couple of them, actually. First of all, just to start off on the one foot, is that you need ground as much as you need power.
Okay? Absolutely.
Usually, I get questions about, I put this part in, it still doesn't work, I got power to it, and it's still... I turn the key, I hit the button, and I still got nothing. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but what about the ground? And then they didn't check that yet. You know, well, what part of, part of a bare ground, blah, 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 you know, my usual. For starters, we had this late 90s Buick, like a Lesabre, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And they call me up, and it's like, okay. Car won't start. It's got no fuel pressure. Sometimes it's got about 10 pounds of fuel pressure, which we really should have like 40 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on fuel pump number 2. And I got power to it. And we changed the relay. And could you tell me, maybe the computer's not... I'm like, dude, the computer's turning the relay on. I mean, you know, how could you be mad at that? So we get over there, the car's on the lift. And we have the car's up in the air, got the fuel gauge dangling down so we could see what if we're doing anything. And the guy that's working on it, you know, the mechanic, the assigned to the job there, he's got his trusty power probe, which I used to not like, but as...
I know that. Yeah, you've mentioned
as
that.
As time goes by, it's really easy to fry something or have a pretty spectacular light show
Just to divert for half a second, and the reason that happens is because the power probe is a self-contained...
Yeah, it's got two big cables. It's great. It's got like 20 feet of cable. You go right to the battery with it, and you could pretty much walk around the car with it, and you could, you know, you want to work on something under the hood, you want to work on something in the trunk, you got enough cable to do it. And by pushing the right button, you can apply power or ground to it.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody is doing to that bulb in the phone thingy over there.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what they got to say themselves.
Let's do that. Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mounds.
Hey, how you doing today?
Very good. Who are we speaking with?
This is Joe.
Oh, Joe. Yeah, Joe.
Hey.
Joe the Undertaker. Very good, Joe. What's happening?
Talking about stories with flooding your carburetor or whatever, or actually intakes, I should say.
Uh-huh.
Carpooling with a friend of mine, torrential rains. We were making through a puddle perfectly fine. The air scoop was high enough, no problems. Until some guy in a pickup truck decided that since he's so far up, he could just barrel right through.
Oy.
Sent a wave right up into the intake.
Oh, no. Here we go.
What kind of car was that, Joe?
I think it was a Dodge Shadow. I don't know. It's like 30 years ago, so it's difficult to remember.
Right.
Yeah, at that point, it probably just became a...
submersible.
It was a shadow of itself. Yeah, at that point, it was time to put on the flotation device and get the heck out.
And the flippers.
Yep.
Yeah, well, surprisingly enough, as long as you didn't really give it too much gas, we were able to limp home.
Okay.
There was just enough to, you know, didn't bend any rods or anything like that. We babied it the entire way.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then back to last week's show. I think it was about, I forget now, is it a month or two ago?
No, last week's show was last Sunday.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying that with the Batmobile.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was at the Nassau Coliseum. In fact, I got Lee Merriweather's autograph over there.
Oh, that's it, way in the past that you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was, I'm trying to think now, that was like the Long Island Comic Con. That's how they build it, so.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was at the car show. Typically, the Thanksgiving weekend car show, there was a Batmobile over there. Yeah, Batmobile. Yeah, that's kind of like a Happy Meal, but in the Batcave.
Exactly, yeah.
I thought that's what you were referring to. I'm sorry, Joe.
No, this was, like I said, at Nassau Coliseum, they were doing the... I forget what they were billing it as. My memory is not working today, so.
Yeah. And you expect us, like, that ours will be?
Yeah, right.
Somebody's phone's going off. I think it's a... I don't know. Okay. That's kind of strange. Yeah, but... Do you have one of those interesting...
That's interesting. I'm sorry, Joe. We're just responding to some odd noises in the studio here.
Seriously.
But...
Yeah, so yeah, they must have had a Comic-Con there or something. Like, yeah, of course, but you know, it's got
Batman.
Yeah,
they had it. Like I said, I don't remember. I think it was like,
yeah, okay.
August, I think it was.
Yeah, well, the Batman. Yeah, well, you know that the one of the main Batmobiles lives right here in Mineola at the Autozeum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Was it that one, or was it one of the new generation Batmobiles? Which one?
No, it was actually they had the new generation and they had the original.
Ah, okay. Could never have enough Batmobiles.
And the problem is, there's so many. There are some clones out there that look pretty close, but you know, you never really know unless you have someone there who can document it, or you know how to document one of those. There's a
Adam West butt print.
Well,
in
there
the
you
seat.
Go. Right.
The Bat. Yeah,
they had a few different vehicles over there. They had, like I said, the one of the movie Batmobiles. Supposedly, I'm not sure.
Right, right.
They also have. There's a pair of guys running around with the car from Supernatural.
Okay.
Oh, that 67 Impala.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing's cool.
Well, they got their own version of it.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you this, Joe. Right here in Mineola. One of the real documented Batmobiles resides.
Yeah, we were just discussing that when you were running out with that thing that was about
to
explode.
Yeah. At the Autozeum. Okay, good. You covered that.
Right.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, cool stuff. All good.
By the way, did you bring the fire extinguisher back?
Yeah, I did.
Good. Yeah, because, you know, after that thing went off there, it's a real mess.
Yeah, there was, I think...
I'm not cleaning that up.
No, there was a little plutonium crystal meltdown, and that was the alarm. So we had to get that out of the studio so we don't have a... You know.
Yes, we don't need to have any. We don't need to have any more of Nassau County's fine emergency services showing up.
We need to keep the Motormouth Radio holodeck in the order and the way we found it as we leave it. It has to be
Because it gets frowned upon. And next thing you know, we're both in here with those coveralls and
mops.
The mop and the broom and I don't know. It's just
so. What else is going on, Joe? Anything interesting in the car world? What are you playing with these days?
Really nothing. Just unfortunately. Working too many hours and whatever, and just keeping things running.
Nice. Yeah, I was just out your way yesterday, out in good old Suffolk County. I took my wife out to one of our favorite diners in Islip, and I hadn't been out there in a while. And I was curious if the guy I knew still was one of the owners, and I saw him. Not only that, he remembered me by name. He's like, "Hey, Ray." I was like, "Oh, Christ, I haven't seen this guy in a couple of years, and he remembers me by
name."
You
leave an impression.
I guess it was when I had that diamond ring that said R-A-Y, and I hit him in the forehead.
I was going to say, it's kind of like, you know, when you get up and, you know, like the doorknob or something hits you in the head, and you know, you walk around with that thing. That's going to leave a mark.
Exactly.
You leave a mark, Ray. What can I say?
That could be good or bad. I don't know.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
So, Joe, what would you like to be doing if you had more time with cars or automobilia stuff?
Oh, well, as you were saying before, with the way they're going with the cars, you can't even tinker around with things and rebuild things. You know, it's just so many different improvements and just...
Complexity
is
yeah.
just insane.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, people try... Unfortunately, that's the thing, too. People try fixing stuff.
Well, Joe's always liked older stuff, like we do. You know, he does like that.
Right, yeah. But, you know, as long as Joe... You know, Joe... seems to have a clue. Like some of these people, you'd be surprised where ignition wires end up.
And I got to tell you, just
like I always said, I just have enough knowledge to be dangerous.
You know? Ah,
I got to say this because this is notable, Joe. When I started doing this show with Chris and Mikey T, that's back in 2004. You were a regular caller, so you are a Motormouth Radio OG. You go back all the way, probably before me. So I just want to make that clear to people know that, you know, we do have some staying power with some people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that my mechanical knowledge is all that great. It's just that my Murphy's Law knowledge is good.
Well, yeah, neither is ours. But we just, yeah, we're able to fake it a little bit.
We're all friends of Mr. Murphy, let's face it. I should say Mr. Murphy knows us.
There was,
remember with my first car, the one thing that I learned was make sure you change the filter with the oil pump.
Oh, yeah. You know, there was a poster we had in the lab years ago that said Murphy's Law, and it had all these, 50 different things. And the next poster, which was the secondary one, said why Murphy was an optimist. And then there were another, 50 or 100 things oh, God, that's got to be good.
Yeah. Let's face it, you get used to just stuff going awry, and then somebody has to clean it up or at least figure it out.
Exactly.
And that would be us, you know?
Yeah.
But also my downfall is the lack of tools. So I remember with changing out that oil pump, I wound up jacking up the car, blocking up the motor, disconnecting the motor mounts, dropping the car down, blocking between the motor mounts and the engine, and then jacking it all back up again.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a lot to go through.
Yeah, but what kind of car was that, Joe?
Oh, it was a 1970 Ford Galaxy 500.
Oh, nice.
Okay. You had some room to work on over there, at least.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the pump went bad. It got tired, as those older Ford pumps had a tendency to do.
Yeah, well, with that design, the way it was set up was that if there's anything that jammed the pump, it was directly connected with the
distributor
that
overgrown Allen key there. Looked like it would look like a Twizzler when it came out.
Yeah.
I was like, the first time, me being a Chevy guy, the first time I pulled one apart, I was like, is this supposed to be like this? No.
Like some of the axles I pull out of rear ends.
Get out of here, kid. Exactly. Yeah, you get that. You know, if you get a little red and white paint, it starts. You can use it as a barber pole.
Candy cane. Very cool.
Oh, all right. So that worked out well. Okay.
Cool.
All
right, Joe. Listen, we got to move on and take our last break and move on to some other business. But we thank you for the call. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, I'm always strange, but it's always difficult to hear on this thing because where I'm at, the radio's reception, I get funny looks because I'm moving around in the parking lot trying to get.
Well, don't forget, in the digital
age. Just don't do that with a white van.
You can live stream it from motormouthradio.com or from TuneIn, the TuneIn app, or radio. A lot of people do that. Radio.com, Radio Time. There's a bunch of them. And when the start date comes that you do get a Twitter feed, you can always subscribe to Motormouth Radio and get all the pertinent updates.
You can hear his tweet.
Right.
That's not the noise I usually make, I'll have to learn how to make that one, too.
Right. All right, Joe. We will speak to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. All right. Joe, let's go take our last break. We're going to get a little on the funky side here. Let's do a little bit of, this was not necessarily salsa. Rob likes this song, so we'll play this. We'll come back in a few minutes. More Motormouth Radio. Keep it where you got it with Ray Guarino and Joe D.
I'm Rob Leonard.
Hi, I'm Tim Leonard, and yes, we're brothers.
Join us every Monday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
as we talk sports on From the Press Box.
We'll give you news and opinions about the Yankees,
the Mets,
the Giants,
the Jets,
the Knicks,
the Nets,
the Islanders, and the Rangers. And yes, we are a soccer-friendly show. Come on, you Spurs.
And we take your phone calls at 516-572-7440. So join us every Monday,
9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
for From the Press Box, right here on 90.3. WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
And the iHeartRadio app.
Opa! Yahtzee!
Hi, this is Teddy Savalas, and I invite you to 2 hours of vintage and modern Greek music with a mix of Greek mythology, history, culture, and dynamic English vocabulary based on Greek roots. If after listening, you end up saying it was all Greek to you, I'll be thrilled. So until then, let out an opa and dance to the music on the Soul of Alas, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Opa!
All right, as we got our Italian and Greek fill,
opa!
The last section of this show, opa, a little carousalambra, we got our little,
You just keep coming up with all this cool stuff.
I know,
stuff
we
know?
Have our other references down there too, our Spanish-type references to our, I don't know what to, trying to think what you'd call that kind of music, I'm blanking out.
I'm not sure what you call it, but then again.
There is an influence.
Oh yeah, definitely, I'm influence, I'm always under that, you know. That's what they drive him while, you know, DWS, drive him while stupid, you know, that's me.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of terminology and whatever, you know,
yeah.
This is something we had talked about, and, you know, today we used the word decrepitated a lot.
We did,
we used
it today.
Schming. You know,
schmutz.
I mean, there's a bunch of them that we use here, and occasionally our callers also come up with their own terminology. Let's face it. Everybody, especially, you know, amongst the different cadres of automotive guys hanging out there, we all have our own little languages, our code words, or whatever.
Vernacular.
Vernacular. Yeah, that's another. Hey, Vern. Well, no, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. Maybe somebody named, you know, one of the Vern guys.
That's right. Out.
But we think we should start collecting them.
Well, we are. And, you know? And actually, there's going to be a site, a place on the website where we're going to maybe have, like, say, a dictionary or a...
or at least say a decoder.
Appendix.
Yes.
A decoder. Good.
Yeah, appendix. I was going to say...
Appendix?
I was going to say some other part of the digestive system,
yeah,
but...
No.
Let's stick with the appendix there.
Okay.
We'll get that going on the website, but we could also go through the Twitter feed.
Yes.
And also the Facebook page.
Right.
So, if anybody's got any cool definitions that they use quite a bit of, that sometimes when you talk to your non-car friends, or even friends that you have that are not from the neighborhood, that
neighborhood related. You're right.
Yeah, a lot of this is neighborhood related. Sure, you know, because let's face it,
boys on the corner.
There you go. So I think that, you know, we should start collecting this. So if anything, it'll become the universal glossary / translator. That way, when we start talking about certain like things like that, and, you know, you can quick, you know, let's face it, a lot of people listen on the computer now or their phones or
right. Whatever
internet capable device. So now they can go flip over there rather than having to Google it
right. And
hope that it comes up in a non-threatening way.
So that this way, when there's a table for us at a Comic-Con,
yes,
because we are comic characters, we could have all those things on T-shirts that we could sell.
Yeah, right now we're just cons, but...
So I guess if you hashtag Schming, you'll see, like, where else it appears, you know, through the Twitterverse, I guess.
Yeah, Schmutz, Schming.
I'm going to try that later on, I think.
Yeah, Schmog.
Schmog, yeah.
Schmog, yeah. Remember
right.
Schmog? Yeah.
Yes.
That, so, yeah, by all
well,
means,
those all
let's...
start with S. We got to find some other ones, too.
Well, there's a whole bunch of them.
I know there are.
We'll have to... And we have our own, you know what I mean? I know that Ray and I, you know, me being more of a Queens guy and Ray being an Island guy, we've exchanged a couple of different terminologies that are now used in our respective neighborhoods.
Right, right.
So, by all means, and we know that there's people from different parts of the country who listen to us.
They're also ethnic-based, too, because there's Italianisms that we've used, and you
well,
know...
Well, yeah, let's face
that
it.
That, too.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
A
so,
lot of Jewish idioms.
Yeah, Verstutzt.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean? Which I don't think is a real word. I forget.
Ah, that carburetor was verklempt.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, verklempt, yeah.
We use that in the wrong tense, but whatever.
Yeah, wiring tends to be verstutzt.
Mark has to watch himself, I say.
Really? Yes.
Because
well, that could be...
We
that,
can't
that,
use his on the radio.
Yeah, well, actually, no, wait a second. I heard that on Mary Tyler Moore once.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh boy, that's
yeah,
Lily
that's
White
right.
Mary, really?
Yeah. Actually, it was Lou Grant. It's, you know, this is the kind of stuff that sticks in your head.
Ed Asner was her boss, and Lou Grant
right. And
his own show.
Lou Grant said it to Mary, and
really,
yeah, I'm not going to say it now,
wow,
just in
okay.
case friendly cousin Charlie.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd like to look for that, look up that one and
yeah, you know, because
you sure didn't say skunk, Mary?
No,
you're
no,
a real
yeah.
skunk.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty certain of that. But like I said, we're going to err on the side of caution right now, and yeah, that's it. There you go.
Got it. Okay, now we did verify it, folks. You'll Google it. You'll find it. It's pretty cool.
Right. So
I was thinking another way. We were both thinking another.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it goes to show you a bunch of car guys. You know, that's the, and you know.
Got it, Mark. Oh, jeez.
Yes, and of course you know that in that vernacular in that context that requires an alcohol based detergent and some compressed air to clean.
Yeah, definitely the descriptor.
And
right?
Then you check for you know, never mind.
Or in Joe's world, it's if another time and space. It's keyboard, right?
Yeah, keyboard.
Which was one of my favorites.
Yes, because I'll give you the background on that. Ray and I used to swap, you know, these funny little stories or cartoons or whatever, and usually I would read them first thing in the morning at my desk, you know, about like 6:20 in the morning. I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, right? And Ray would come across one, and the next thing I know, my keyboard and my screen were completely just, you know, they were schminged up.
Right.
They were completely schminged. And then
from the coffee and saliva within.
Right, yes, exactly. And then I just got sick and tired of saying to Ray, you know, I got to go get another keyboard. So now I just would write keyboard.
Because we're not.
And he knew exactly.
Because we're not LOL guys.
Yeah, right.
No.
LOL.
Right. We're not those guys.
Yeah, no.
But keyboard drove it home. You know, if it happened here, it'd be console.
Yeah, right. not to mention a thorough talking to by the college. The college powers that be there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But we definitely want to hear about the different terminologies that people we want to put it up there. Website, maybe the Facebook page. You know,
sure.
Yeah, and tweet us with that and all kinds of stuff.
We'll compile it. Speaking of compiling, though, we're going to run out of time in a few minutes. I want to mention what's coming up, and because our guests
yes.
heard that, and this will be out on Twitter. So if you join us during the week, you'll get it in your little your bird thing there. Bill Lindsay, the guy from Starbright. We've had Bill on the show many times in the past. They Starbright makes and sells Startron, which is that fuel additive that, like I said, I've been using it for a while. It combats the effects of ethanol in the fuel.
Right.
Okay. And Bill, we're not going to go into the whole chemical thing. I'm going to let Bill do that next week because he's got a...
Thankfully, you stopped me from drinking it.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's that light blue color. Looks like the Jerris hair tonic, the stuff they used to put the combs in the barbershop. You wouldn't know about that, Joe. haven't been there for a long time.
I was going to say Gatorade.
Okay, maybe the ice blue Gatorade, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be like a crystal from, Quadrant 4.
From space, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, well, that's another terminology, by the way, crystal from space.
You don't know the
high-tech, the high-tech principle or something. It used to be PFM, which is pure something magic,
right?
And then one of my workers, when I had the shop, used to talk about crystals from space.
Uh-huh.
He was from Russia, but I'm sorry, go ahead. So blue crystal from space, yes. I'm sorry,
so
go ahead.
Bill Lindsay from Starbright will be on next week to talk to us about all these the products that his company makes and sells. Like I said, Startron is the big one, but he did say this something new. He did send me years ago some stuff. It was this car bomb product. Like if a car had, like you had talked about, you get some of these cars in that really stink, and you want
right.
to like bomb it before you can work on it.
Right.
They sell a product that's you let it off in the car and it actually, you know, obliterates all that nasty odor.
The deodorizer thingy there.
But there was something else new. He said, "I'll send some out. I haven't gotten it yet, so hopefully during the week we'll get that."
As a matter of fact, that car deodorizer thing sounds pretty interesting because there are a couple of cars that I got to do that.
I'll bring you some.
Yeah, definitely. You know,
got some home. Yeah.
Does it come with a hazmat suit?
No, I think you're on your own for that. You have to get the yellow Breaking Bad suit if you want to do the.
Those are cool. I want to wear one of those.
Right. And then in the cloud, through Jeep and Al, his truck, his Dakota, is going to be on the cover of one of the LMC truck parts magazines.
No kidding.
LMC, I found out, stands for Long Motor Company. I didn't know that. I had a conversation with Susan this past week. We spoke for over a half hour, and she's going to try and find the right person in the company to come and do the call, because they don't have people per se that do that. So they're working on that. She's going to get back to me.
They're too busy actually making parts and selling parts and cataloging parts.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you this, they do, the thing that caught my eye on their website, if you look, just go, I think it's probably lmctruck.com, you can find them. They have a section now for vans. They're covering the older vans like we knew and grew up with that are now made a resurgence at the cruise nights.
Yes.
So LMC is servicing them now, which I think is fantastic, and Susan and I agreed that that was a segment we both wanted to see come back, because they were just cool. I never owned one. I worked on them. I had friends that had them, but...
Oh, yeah, I had plenty of them that I had to get started or whatever, you know, that belonged to my friends, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, our friends always had them.
Yeah.
But
by the way, could you take a look at this? Either that or we're not going out tonight.
Exactly. Right, right. And in the van, of course, everybody piles in. So yeah. With that, Joe.
Let's hear heavy-duty suspension.
Right. With that, we'll get out of Kim's way. Stay tuned for Thunder Road.
Yeah, Thunder Road's coming.
Coming in next, and we will get out of here and see what we're going to do this afternoon, and we'll be back next week. So for Joe D., Ray Guarino.
Yes.
Motormouth Radio.
Saddle up, lock and load.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.